The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. A little chilly, especially in the wind. You know, I mean, Don and I were talking a little while ago as we walked in. It's not bad outside if there's no wind.
Right, if you're in the sun and the wind. Yeah.
It has been really windy the last couple of days. Yeah. I mean, that stuff will cut right through you. But yeah, it's a beautiful-looking day outside. And coming off a pretty darn pretty weekend for Auburn. A very, very needed win in basketball over Kentucky, a wild one, which we will, I'm sure, talk a lot about today. And then Auburn baseball, very impressive on their trip to Arlington. They've never lost in that park.
No, because the first time they went out there is a different park, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're 8-0 in this park now. I mean, they
won 2 out of 3 the first time in 2022, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess they've won 8 in a row. But I mean, sweeping the 3 games out there, Kansas State, another just gem from Jake Marciano. My goodness. You want a guy, you want a Friday night starter. Who I mean, can shut down people. How about, 11 innings, 1 run, 20 strikeouts, 0 walks.
Yeah, that's exactly what Auburn wants, right? They want somebody to fill up the strike zone.
Everybody wants something like that, and he's a lefty.
Yep. So you got to like that. The pitching has been great. They had a 3.00 ERA over there in those 3 games. You know, they're doing it without Griffin Graves, who many thought would be the Friday night starter or a weekend starter. You know, maybe when he comes back, if he doesn't grab a starting role, he can take a key role in the bullpen. We'll see. You know, it's just 2 weeks. You know, things change over the course of the season.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
But, it's kind of the opposite how I saw this. You know, the hitting started to come along, but I thought
– It is. I thought the hitting was going to have to carry the pitching early.
I did, especially early. Yep. But it's been the opposite so far. Terrific pitching. Petrovic's been really good. Jackson Sanders, even though he gave up the 4 runs the first, doesn't give a hit the rest of the next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Five.
Blanked him. Yeah. Blanked him for the. Yeah, he finished going 5 innings, 4 runs, but all 4 came in the first. Yep. So, yes, I mean, starting pitching has been phenomenal. I saw, the stat, and this one is wild. Drew, we'd like these in our fantasy league. I mean, starters for Auburn thus far this year in 7 starts. 59 strikeouts, 4 walks.
That's incredible.
A 15-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That's not going to keep up. No, but anything resembling that is just fantastic.
Yeah, and the thing about this team is you see a ton of potential and upside with a lot of players.
Like, I agree.
They're not close to peaking, right?
No.
Ty Clay has not got it going. He was Auburn's best hitter during the fall.
He was their MVP in the fall.
Yeah, and he was swinging the bat really good in preseason when I was out there. I went out there to 6 or 7 different scrimmages, and he was still swinging the bat well. So you feel like that's going to come around for sure at some point.
Mm-hmm. And still don't have, haven't had Chris Rembert.
Yeah, their best player, right?
Yeah.
So
only without your best player and the guy, and a guy doesn't have a hit yet that was the MVP of the fall.
Exactly. Now you've got Ethan Biggeman, a freshman, playing really well, freshman of the week, co-freshman of the week for the SEC. Brandon McCrane, a redshirt freshman, steps in for Rembert, bats 583 on the weekend. Very, very impressive. He's been good, and they're going to have to find a place for him when Rembert comes back, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's something that Butch Thompson talked about and said he feels like they've got 13 or 14 guys that they want to get at bats for.
Yep.
So, I mean, they can go with the hot bat, or they can go matchups, they can go lefty-righty, different ways that they have, and it gives them great. And, you know, Bristol Carter didn't play a whole lot the first week, and he had a great series, too.
Had over 500, scored 5 runs,
homered.
A few RBIs, had a home run. Yeah, it just was a spark plug, right? He was a big reason. And he started a lot of things for them.
Yeah, and I heard some talk a little earlier today, and some people – this probably isn't going to be a team that hits a lot of homers. I would argue that. I I think this team's going to hit some homers.
Oh,
that's a major league ballpark.
Yeah,
that they hit a few homers in the other. They hit at least four. They hit at least four homers in the three games.
Yeah, they've been off to a slow start overall hitting.
This team's got pop.
They do. They do. They're going to hit a lot more doubles, a lot more home runs. All that's coming. Yeah,
yep.
I feel like it's coming.
So a fun weekend. Softball goes 4-2 out in California. I mean, so it was a good one. But you know, basketball, the must win. Auburn had to have a win on Saturday night against Kentucky, and they played well. I thought defensively that's one of Auburn's better performances in a while, because they didn't Kentucky didn't have the open looks, the number of open looks that we've seen other teams have recently.
Yeah, unfortunately, the biggest defensive breakdowns took place in the last 3.5 minutes of the game, right?
Yep.
Along with a couple of turnovers, along with fouling a three-pointer. I think that was in the last three and a half
minutes. It was when Auburn had a 3-point lead.
Yeah, so that's something they got to work on. You know, they gave up a 7-point lead against Mississippi State in the final 4 minutes or so, 6 points against Kentucky.
Yeah, Auburn went from a 4-point lead at under 3 minutes to play to being down four with right at, you know, under a minute to play.
And if it
and
wasn't,
still came back.
Wasn't for Kevin Overton's drawing that foul,
right.
Which, yeah, it definitely was, you know, either way, you could.
Well, look. I mean, there was definite there was definitely contact.
Sure.
It. I'll say this: a lot of times that isn't called late in the game, and I understand, you know, why Mark Pope was a little upset, but he did push off. Now Kevin reacted, you know, like it was a much better push, but you got to do that.
Yeah.
You've got to do that. And look, the officials are going to call what they think. What they believe happened. That's what it looked like to the official. And I thought it was interesting today. We heard Stephen Pearl talking about a couple of calls that look, the home crowd really didn't agree with, because they shouldn't have been called.
Right.
But Stephen pointed out today they looked like fouls, even though there may not have been contact on the Tahad Pettiford foul, the Sway foul. It looked like a foul to the officials, so they called it a foul. That resulted in 5 Kentucky points.
The other thing, if you're just from Auburn's perspective, you have gotten some really, really tough breaks this season that have cost you games.
Yep.
Calls,
oh, you're right.
Right, so it's good to see things even out a little bit for the Tigers, right?
Yeah. I mean, they deserved a break, and they may have gotten one there, but they had to make those plays right there in the final minute
they did.
To get it. And Elijah Freeman tips in that final basket with they ended up putting a tenth of a second back, so it's 1.2 seconds.
Yep.
But to get that win, so Kentucky now, Don, on a 3-game slide.
Yeah, and they got a tough one. I think they play tomorrow night at South Carolina. Won't be easy. The Natives are restless in Lexington.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Big win for Auburn. And then – you know, Auburn's got a tough one again tomorrow. Doesn't get any easier, guys.
It doesn't.
No, but look, this is Oklahoma is 3-11, so you go, why is that tough? They've been right there with quite a few teams, and they've also won a couple of ball games here recently. So it's not going to be easy. Hey, it's a quad one win. That's as crazy as that seems.
For now, right?
Quad one game. Yeah. Well, going into this, it would be a quad one win. Now, after the win, it may drop back. But, I mean, Auburn needs to win this. I think if they win this ball game tomorrow night, I think they're in. That means taking care of business at home against Ole Miss and LSU.
Yeah.
But I think if they do that, that gets them to 9 conference wins, assures them of a 500 conference record in the regular season and 18 wins. And I think that gets them in regardless of what happens in Tuscaloosa.
I do, and just in the last 4 games, they've beaten Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt, they've won against Georgia at home. Those are 2 really, really good
wins.
That's
2 teams that are probably in the tournament.
Yep, and now they did lose at Tennessee, which is a lot of teams lose
there.
Sure. And then they lost a fairly tight one against Texas A&M at home.
That's a tough run for them here down the stretch, but they're playing better.
They are.
So
they're very dangerous.
Yes,
very,
so,
very good shooting team, very good offensive team.
Another team that Auburn's going to have to be very careful about Defensively,
got to defend the three.
Can't let them have looks at three,
which is something Auburn has struggled with the entire season.
They have, but like I said, I thought they did a much better job against Kentucky, especially in the second half. You know, it looked up, and just before halftime, Kentucky shooting 55%, Auburn shooting like 30.
Yeah.
It ended up both teams, you know, very, very close. So Auburn held Kentucky down. Kentucky couldn't make shots, didn't have as many open shots in the second half, and Auburn shot it better until they struggled there in the final 3 minutes, but were able to come back after giving up the lead and trailing, be able to come back and win that ball game was huge. Huge game for Keyshawn Murphy.
Yeah, just been so much better the last, I guess, month and a half or so, or maybe a little bit longer. Just been so active. He's so quick. You know, when he gets a ball, you know, in the post, he just moves so quick, jumps so quick, it's hard to block his shot. It's hard to defend him in there. And he's just been hitting the boards really hard, just really impressed with his overall game. Just has a lot of energy when he's on the floor.
And hit a huge three.
Yeah, he did.
As well.
Yes, he did. That was big. That was one of those, great shot.
Yeah, kidding. I mean, well, the thing is, his 3-point percentage is pretty good. He just hasn't taken that many.
Yeah.
He's one of Auburn's better three-point shooters. Just, I think he's only hit 12 or 13 on the season. But then, he missed what looked like an easy gimme there at the end, just before Elijah Freeman's able to get the tip in.
Yeah, we mentioned.
I mean, that would have been a crusher.
Yep.
Had Elijah not been able to get that rebound and put it back in, had Auburn lost 74-73 after getting two shots in the final five seconds.
And that's the Elijah that Auburn needs, right? They need that aggressive player off the bench to come in and be dangerous and tough to stop. And he was much more aggressive against Kentucky than he's been in a while. And if he can keep that up, I think that's the next step for him because he has all the athletic ability in the world to be a really, really good player.
Yeah, Steven really going on about his athleticism today. And, I mean, we've seen it at times, no question about it. Again, he's in his first year at this level after playing
D2 Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, Lincoln Memorial. I couldn't think of, the school. But there's no doubt he has the ability to be a big-time player.
Yes, he does.
At this level. And as a guy that Auburn would love to have back next year.
Yeah, I mean, this team, is not going to be a great team, I don't think. But they've got some quality, and there's, four, five, six guys or so that if you can bring them back next year, that's a great group, a core group that you can build around instead of trying to replace 10 guys at once, which is really, really, really tough.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the better teams, and they have guys, they have a core of players that have been playing together for a little while. And, I mean, Auburn has the possibility of bringing back Kevin Overton.
Yep.
He's got a year of eligibility. Obviously, Tahad has a couple of years of eligibility left. Elijah Freeman has 2 years of eligibility left. And then you look at
the
freshman Sebastian Williams Adams, and I think Filip Jovich.
Both those guys
have got a chance
to really
improve.
Yeah, but we don't know about Aporum really and what his status will be for next year, but that would be another guy. They'd need a rim protector.
No, and it's interesting. Steven has mentioned multiple times here over the last couple of weeks Aporum and Bashir.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Abdul Bashir. And, I'd sort of just thought, well, that's just not going to be. And it may not.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that Steven has mentioned him being out injured for the year a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean, but if Auburn could get – that's a half dozen or so players. If they can get most of those guys back next year, then it's a whole lot easier to try to get pieces around them.
It is. They had such a high margin of error having to bring in 10 guys, right? If you miss on a few, you just don't have – and they did. But if you only have to bring in, four or five, whatever, picky.
Yeah, especially if you're looking and thinking, just maybe a couple of guys that could step in and start and other guys compete for starting jobs, but not necessarily knowing, hey, it's wide open and I've got to have four starters coming back next year. I agree, Brian. I think this team, look, they've shown they can compete with anybody in this league. I mean, by going on the road and beating Florida and handling Arkansas the way they did at home earlier this year, they can compete with anybody in this league. They're a kind of team that, look, if that win Saturday night, can really spark them, they're the kind of team that I don't think a lot of teams in the postseason want to run into because the athleticism they have, even though they're not deep, They're athletic enough, and they're definitely talented offensively. Auburn didn't shoot it well. They haven't shot it well the last couple of ball games.
No, they hadn't.
But still, I mean, they're scoring enough points to be able to win. So, I mean, their defense, I thought, was better Saturday. They've got to keep doing that. But it was an absolute must. They had to have that one. I think if they had lost, we were talking about it the other day, if they'd lost that one, it would have been really hard for anybody to feel like, well, the season's not over.
Yeah, and I think looking at the last four games, you've got Oklahoma and Alabama on the road. Those are two right now quad one games. Alabama will be a quad one game.
They definitely will.
And then they've got home games against LSU and Ole Miss, right? Yeah, Ole
right.
Miss, LSU. So if they hold serve at home, I think if they can win one of those two away games, I think they'll feel really good about their NCAA tournament chances. If they lose both those away games, then it's kind of nailed by.
Yeah, then it's, I mean, they still may be in, but right. There's no guarantees.
No.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls here on the Monday Drive.
We're online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. It sure felt good to win some games for a change.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially, basketball really needed that after that five-game losing streak, and especially that loss at Mississippi State.
It was as wild of a first half as I've ever seen at State. But I had a comment and a question on the Kentucky game. The comment was, I thought back after the game, and I couldn't remember the last time Auburn won back-to-back regular season games against Kentucky, because even when we won at Rupp, we didn't win at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and the last time we did that was 74-75.
Wow, I had not realized that, but you're right. I mean, it's not the norm.
No, not at all. And so the question I had was more about Auburn just as a team this year. It feels to me, I'm biased, I see it for orange and blue colored glasses, but it seems like whenever Auburn, especially in the first half, I feel like at the 10-minute mark of every half, Auburn has committed about two team fouls and the other team has five or six and you're threatening to get in the bonus. And if it's for foul discrepancy or whatever, it feels like it's impossible for the rest of the half for Auburn to get a call. And I was just wondering, do you guys think there's anything to that where Auburn is so good at getting to the line that it feels like at times, and I think it leads us into poor ends of the first half, we just can't get a call. I just want to see – I'll hang up and listen, but I want to see what you guys think about that.
Appreciate it, John. That's an interesting question. I had the same question asked of me. Well, sort of that a little earlier today. I mean, look, start of the ball game, Kentucky had six fouls, I think, before Auburn had their first.
Yep.
And I did not think it was – anything against – I didn't think Kentucky was getting shafted on the calls. I thought Kentucky was very aggressive, and they were hacking.
Yeah.
It almost appeared that their philosophy – and, Don, I don't know, you're a longtime Kentucky guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it really felt to me midway through the second half that Kentucky's philosophy was hack them on every single opportunity. They can't call them all. And then it got to the point where they weren't calling right. some, because I felt like there were a couple of times Elijah Freeman about got his eyes knocked out yeah. one time. I mean, he got an arm across his face, and the official, I don't know how he didn't call it, but I mean, it felt like, all right, there have been a lot of calls on Kentucky. Maybe we don't need to even them up, but we don't need to, you know, have this game end up with Kentucky getting 40 fouls right. called on them.
Right. I think there is something to once you kind of set that, right, even if you get the fouls early, if you keep doing it, they tend to kind of, you know, let it
well,
go.
Well, that's the way you're going to play, and yeah. maybe we'll let more of it go. But I do think that may have played into it. Remember, I asked Stephen last week about Auburn's troubles making shots around the rim. And I didn't realize they missed 15 layups on Saturday night after going 4 for 15 against Mississippi State. And Kentucky wasn't blocking shots like State had. Auburn was missing them. And Steven said it today, and it felt like it, that when they got there, a lot of the times guys would get rid of the ball really quickly, you know, maybe to avoid getting it blocked, rushing it, and not just putting it up either off the backboard or dropping it in, sort of rushing it a little bit, and as a result, shooting it a little too hard and missing those shots.
I agree. Yeah.
So I don't know the I don't remember what the final numbers were on the fouls, but they were a lot closer than it felt like the game was going.
It was 19-15, I think. 19-14.
So they definitely backed off the whistles after early on, because Kentucky looked like Auburn was going to be in the double bonus. Yeah. You know, well before halftime. So I don't know about that, John. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, maybe it's just something that the officials feel like, it's all right. The game's under control. Maybe you don't want to whistle as much. I don't know. But it is hard to convince. It's hard to convince a lot of Auburn fans that they're getting the breaks at home. It has been tough.
Texas A&M, you can't forget what happened that game. That was still one.
If Auburn had lost this one, there'd be a lot of talk about those five free throws that Kentucky got on the on the two phantom calls.
Right. Absolutely.
But I really thought it was neat of Steven to talk about how it looked to the officials today.
Right. He understands the calls. Right. He wasn't complaining about it.
Right. But if we'd lost, that'd probably be a different story.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think he'd have been nearly as nice about that. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports, Auburn basketball. Speaking of basketball, I haven't seen anything here in the last couple of hours. But how about the latest on the Charles Bediako thing? I mean, he's taking it to the Alabama Supreme Court. Are you serious? I mean,
just whatever.
Let it go. Yeah. Let it go. I mean, it's a rule in the NCAA rule book, and you had a judge say no, and it's still not enough. Going to take it to the Alabama Supreme Court.
We'll see. Yep.
I mean, Alabama's done pretty well without him. You know, they went 3-2 with him.
Right.
They've done better, record wise, without him. Alabama's 7-2 without him, and they're 3-2 with him.
Yeah, there's something about chemistry in a team that sticks together and trying to bring in somebody from the outside, you know, two-thirds of the way through the season. You know, I can see where that, even if he's the greatest guy in the world, it's still tough to mix that back in there, because somebody else is losing playing time when you do something like that, right?
And yeah.
Not so easy.
Well, I mean, it's, we've talked about, I feel like, we've spent way too much time talking about what's going on in the courts and not on the courts or on the field. Yeah. But I mean, that's the way it is now in college athletics. If you're not happy or you want more, you want extra years, extra time, whatever, want to be eligible, just see if you can take it to court.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with NCAA and the rules, which have been, in some cases, violate antitrust and other things. So until they sit down and do some sort of collective bargaining, it's going to continue to be this way. A lot of these issues are going to be decided in the courts instead of, parties sitting down at a table and hacking things out. And then once they agree on those rules, there's no more of this.
That's well, I mean, the only other option would be, and it would just be for everybody to agree and abide by them, have all schools. But every school is not going to do that, because if you have an opportunity to get a player who you think is going to help you win, then you're going to be all for it. You're going to go against the rules.
All the football programs, we're only going to give the $20.5 million. Yeah, right.
Right.
Right. That's never going to happen. So the only way to slow this down, the only way to have some stability, is to sit down and collectively bargain, treat them like employees. I don't think you're ever going to get anything significant passed through Congress. And even if it does, it can still be challenged in the courts. If it violates antitrust, there's one answer, and I don't know how long it's going to take us to get that answer, but eventually we'll have to get there.
I wish it would be, you know, sometime before, you know, before too long, so that there could just be some, you know, some parameters, because I know everybody, and I'm speaking every school, is not going to be able to continue seeing these increases and increases and increases.
Right.
You know, there's going to be a limit for some schools. They're going to be maxed out,
yeah.
And you know, the schools that have even more money, the Texas schools, Don.
Yeah.
Miami. Yep. You know, now you look Indiana, Oregon. I mean, those schools are going to they're going to be able to. So why won't they keep spending and spending? So that's why there's going to have to be something done, or we're not going to be able to have competitive, you know, teams and leagues the way that you would like to have. I mean, yeah, I don't want parity. I don't want everybody going 500, but I also don't want, you know, a handful of teams that can be the New York Yankees or the LA Dodgers and just buy all the best.
Now we kind of had that before this era started with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State,
right?
And that. Some of this stuff, the NIL and the transporter has spread out the talent more.
Oh, it's allowed schools like Texas Tech and Indiana.
Yes.
To
I think that's good.
Become much more competitive.
I think that's good.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But not if it's gonna, you know, run some of the other schools just out of business.
All right,
334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. I'd love to hear from you as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And before we get back to the phones, you heard the Game Day Men's Health spot a little while ago, a little update. All right, I've been going and seeing them for about 3 months. I'm down about 15 pounds.
Nice.
I'm feeling much better. Got definitely have more energy. They really can help you. Now, they're closed right now, but they'll open tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. You can check them online. Give them a call, 334-209-3706. Game Day Men's Health. All right, let's see. So, all right, the Olympics is over, Brian. How much did you watch?
A fair bit, you know.
What do you like about the Winter Olympics? What interests you?
I like the women's figure skating. I like I like the biathlon. That's pretty cool. Carrying the gun around
and
shooting.
Yeah, ski and shoot.
Yeah.
Man, how hard would that be?
Yeah, oh, I know.
To slow your breathing down.
The one skier who won 6 golds.
That's amazing.
Mark Spitz. I'm skiing.
I mean, yeah.
I'm telling my age.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, we watched. I mean, Kathy really likes the figure skating.
Yeah.
So
Donna
saw a good
too.
Bit of that.
Yep.
And watched a little of the crazy ski jumping.
The
now where it's not just ski jumping, but it's jumping and flipping and all that stuff.
Half pipe and all that
stuff. It is crazy. I watched some. I tried. Well, I didn't try. I didn't have anything else to watch for a couple minutes last night. I tried to watch some of the closing ceremonies, and it's like no. I mean, that's a little too something for me. Don, did you watch any?
Hockey, women's and men's. I got up early Sunday morning, got on the treadmill, watched that, and, you know, what a game. And that kid that got his two teeth knocked out.
I know, how about that?
And
that
comes back, and then
That's hockey, man.
He shows his tooth to the ref, because if they draw blood, it's an extra 2 minutes. So, penalty.
Should be an extra 2 minutes for every tooth he knocks out.
Golly, those guys. Somebody was joking on TV or something. Said if that had been an NFL player, they'd been out a week.
Yeah.
And speaking of NFL, the combine started.
Wow, that's right.
Today. And I see where our center is really ranked high.
Yeah.
From last year's
Connor
team.
Lou.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That goes a whole week. I did not realize that.
Yeah, because you've got different positions getting tested.
Yeah, and I think the SEC, like always, has more athletes there than any other conference.
Oh yeah,
And I read somewhere or something, I think Texas A&M might have like 14 guys invited.
Wow. Well, I mean,
they were supposed to be the
you knew for a few years they were supposedly bringing in, you know, as good a talent 13, as anybody in the country.
13 Man. Invited. So that's good and bad if you're the coach and you didn't win them all. He didn't want that out.
Well, Elko had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
This year.
Really good.
334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Slack is up next. Hey, Slack.
What's going on, guys?
Man, there's a lot going on. All kinds of different sports going on.
It is. Watching the ball game Saturday, it was one point in the ball game where, what's his name? The kid that led us in scoring. He got called for a foul but he didn't touch the guy. Well, he almost picked up a technical because he was upset because he didn't touch it.
There were a couple of those. I mean, I thought that
on our side of the ball, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, there definitely were. I mean, there were a couple in the crowd, and they showed the replays. And when you see that there's no contact, it's like, come on, you know what are you making? What are you making that call for?
And that, for the life of me, I don't understand what these guys are looking at. I guess they anticipate the foul. Why don't they wait till the foul is actually made and then blow the whistle?
Well. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you can do that. That'd sort of be after. I mean, the play would be continuing, and then if you did that. I thought, you know, we were talking about it a little while ago, though, Slack, and Stephen Pearl today sort of explained a little bit. Now, we won the game, so you can talk about that happening and not be as upset. You know, you won't be like Mark Pope, who feels like that call cost them the game. But Stephen was just talking about, players can't be like Tahad can't be swinging down. It wasn't Tahad. He was talking about swinging down, and then Sway. It looked like the guy kicked out and didn't even make contact with him.
Right.
But he said to the officials, he could understand from where the officials were why it looked like a foul. But it's a shame you can't, after you blow the whistle, then see the replay and go, forget it. Let's just play on.
Right, you know, we got so many kids now kicking.
Yes.
Like Reggie Miller used to do back in the day, you know, but they're the ones creating the contact.
Oh, yeah.
We get called for the foul. Even in the Mississippi State game, I don't know if you noticed it or not, he does it a lot.
Oh, Hubbard absolutely does.
And, you know, you can't get close to him because if you get close to him, he's going to kick you, and it's going to be a four-point play. And that's what the kids were complaining about the whole ball game. You know, that's not a normal shot. When you're kicking your legs out, and the referees, it's the referee's job. Stop that! You know, hey, stop doing it. I'm not gonna call it. Stop doing it.
Well, the other thing we were talking about a little while ago, though, Slack, is I mean, Kentucky got called for, you know, five fouls or so in the first 3 minutes of the ball game, and it looked like, man, they're not gonna have anybody left. But they didn't get many fouls called against them the rest of the game. It was almost like, well, they're going to play this way, so we'll let them get away with it, because there was an awful lot of contact, a lot of hacking, I thought, that was going on that wasn't called for a good bit of that ball game.
Yeah, we're getting beat to death down low, and everybody's saying, well, we can't make a left. Yeah, we're getting beat to death up under the basket, and the referee's not calling the call.
No, and I wonder.
A lot of body contact.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, I wonder how much that's affected Keyshawn Hall. I mean, Keyshawn early this year, I mean, officials were calling, you know, a lot of the contact, and he's really good at drawing contact and sort of creating that a little bit himself, really good at that. But the last few games, it hasn't been called as much, and it looks like he's at times trying to draw the contact more than concerned with going ahead and just making the
finishing,
shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you think the coaches have let the officials know about that? And that
you know they have.
Oh, yeah, of course they have. All right, guys, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Slack. Yeah, I mean, Keyshawn had a rough night offensively that night. 3 of 15.
Yep.
What was
eight offensive boards and eight, seven assists.
Yeah, total of 9 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double.
Yep.
Almost, because he went 10, 9, and 7.
says a lot about him that even when he's having an off night, he can contribute in so many other important ways.
Yeah, the seven assists. I mean, I know there were a couple of times where you go, give it up, but, I mean, he's still a guy that is so good at drawing the fouls, which they didn't blow a lot of whistles. I mean, he got he did get an and one, a huge and one there coming down the stretch as well. But yeah, that's, you know, he's still, you know, you still got to have him in there doing, you know, trying to create and make those plays.
He's by far Auburn's best offensive scorer. He's Auburn's best 3-point shooter. Yes, he had an off night, but you still got to run the offense through him.
You know, here's something I'm sure isn't exciting for teams that have Auburn on their schedule. How many games has Auburn had, say, four guys really play well offensively in the same game? There have been a few where Auburn had three.
Right.
And there have been a lot more that Auburn's had two.
Yep.
But it's been different guys so many times. I mean, we've seen Kevin Overton have a couple of 20-point games. Keyshawn Murphy lately has had some really big ball games. But it seems like, you know, when they do, either Tahad or Keyshawn Hall doesn't.
Right.
And, I mean, you just feel like the odds are that at some point it's going to click for more than a couple of them, and that would be bad news for whoever Auburn's playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, if the four of them get rolling, that's pretty impressive. And just – you got to keep it up. He said some things today, Coach did, it, I agree with. You know, it's a quick turnaround. You know, big win, emotional win.
Quick turnaround on the road. I mean,
yes.
From playing a late night Saturday night game to playing Tuesday night in Oklahoma.
I'm sure they've already left, and, you know, they'll be there, and bang, it's time to play again.
I mentioned four guys. The other guy I didn't is one you talked about a little while ago, and that's Elijah Freeman. I mean, his ceiling – maybe high. I think his ceiling may be higher than anybody else's on the team. I mean, he can do some crazy things at times. You see him just jump up over everybody, and we've seen that Euro step that seems like it starts at the top of the key a couple of times. I mean, and lately, the last couple of ball games, he's starting to get the range a little more on his threes.
Well, he is definitely a guy that can drive and finish, right? And as soon as it becomes more of a consistent 3-point shooter, and teams have to respect that more, that's going to open up more things for him. And I think with him, as Coach Pearl has talked about and his teammates have talked about, is just being aggressive. They said they've seen it in practice, they just don't see it enough in games. And when he is, like he was against Kentucky, it makes a big difference.
He's had a couple of games, he's had some games where he gets quick fouls called on him. But I mean, he's got such long arms. And at times, I mean, he can come up with steals where you just feel like, oh, there's no way. And he can reach in and you know, tip the ball away, too. I mean, so I think he has the ability to be a plus player on both ends of the court.
I do, too. And I love his defense. But, he that's another thing where he's up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he really sets his, gets down to the stance and plays really hard defense, he's really, really good. But other times, he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Well, here's a guy that, like we said, I mean, was playing D2 ball a year ago, was a 6'3", 6'4", kid coming out of high school just 2 years ago.
That's right.
So he's still growing into his frame, into his body right now. So I don't know. I mean, I think the possibilities are there for Auburn to have some fun here coming down the stretch and heading into the postseason.
I hope so. You know, I think they're limited a little bit with the type of players they have. But I do think this team has shown it's capable of playing with and beating just about anybody on the schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if they can stay healthy, if they can get some confidence going, like get some momentum,
right?
You know, sure they could make a run.
Saturday night sure should have helped. If they could get a win in Norman, put back to back wins together. Then they've got a chance to have another four-game run heading into Tuscaloosa.
That would be great.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We'll head to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Don, Brian, we've got Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything that you want to talk about sports-wise. We're getting close. When is the do we know when spring practice starts?
17th, I believe, of March. Mm-hmm. And then I think the 18th.
Then it's the 18th of April. Yep. is A-Day.
Yep.
So we're getting close there.
3 weeks away or so. Yeah.
Man, I'm every time you look, Alex Golish is popping up somewhere.
Yeah.
Either in you know, with a recruit, or I guess it was over the weekend speaking at the Georgia coaches clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Smart. Got to do it.
He understands how football works in this area of the country.
Yes.
Right? He gets it 100%. So
I agree.
And I think he's a guy that understands that your team has to be disciplined and well coached too, which. You know, if you look at Harsin, I don't think he got it right.
No, not at all.
And I just think Ufreeze just let too many things slip coaching wise. You know, so
yeah. I mean,
I think
he brought talent in. I mean that's one thing he did. But yeah, I mean Alex Golish. I mean it's hard to imagine. You know, when he gets much sleep, it seems like he is always somewhere. But he's done. I mean, I think he's off to a really good start. I'm amazed at how well, and we'll see when they get out there on the field, but on paper, how well they did in replenishing this roster.
And I think we talked about this with Don Dunn before, but Don Dunn, what would you have done in the spring if you had about 90 players, you know, in 15 practices to get after it? What would those practices be like?
Be tough. Yeah. Be physical.
Yeah.
Separate the men from the boys, because you got to. You got to. You know me, run the ball, stop the run, and you can't do it in shorts all the time.
And now this time, unless guys want to sit out a year, they're going to be here in the fall. I mean, this is the roster you're going to have. You don't have to worry about losing a portion of your roster at the end of the spring.
Right. And I think, is it just a few, three or four signees or loading ones aren't here yet? So other than that, everybody – is here.
I think two signees and two of the transfers are all that aren't here.
Yeah. So
there's going to be close. This may be as many scholarship players as Auburn's had going through a spring since back in the days that the you had 100 plus scholarships.
Right. That's crazy to think about that. I've just seen so many springs where
you may have had 60, 65 guys.
Yeah.
And scholarship.
You're worried about a day. You can't divide up into teams. You don't have any players.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's not the case.
And didn't, and a lot of times we didn't even play our starters and seniors, especially the second half of the spring game.
Yep.
Never going to see the field.
Oh, yeah. All those
Which
MVPs.
Which good for them. Yeah. They get the trophy. Yep. That'd be it.
Oh, yeah.
It might be the last time you heard of them.
Yeah.
That's right. But good for them.
See you next spring.
good for those, because you need those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You really
so
needed
important.
Those guys.
Yeah. Now, I was one of those guys, I know.
You know, but now that you've got extra scholarships, I mean, you're gonna you won't have as many of those of the walk-ons,
right?
But you'll have more guys that used to be maybe used to be walk-ons or that are, you know, trying to earn scholarships that are getting something.
The crazy thing for me is 17 offensive linemen, and not one of them is guaranteed a starting spot. Right? It's so wide open there. Like six or seven of them are upperclassmen they brought them from the portal who you think are going to be in the mix, but I wouldn't assume anything.
Well, I'll be shocked if we don't know who the center is.
Yeah, that's true. Cole Best, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be shocked too, yeah. I mean, but still, they all got to go out there.
True. That's true. Yeah. I mean, what I like is there appears to be really quality competition at every one of the spots.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll just see how good they are.
Yeah.
The one thing I think they will be, they'll be smart about it, right? They're going to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are and build a team around that and not be throwing guys out
there.
Oh,
we're going to fit a round peg into a square hole type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Again, wide open on this Monday, so come on in and join us as we're right back with hour number two.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. A nice looking Monday, but step out in it. It's pretty darn cool. I mean, and the wind is what makes it. I mean, if you find an area where there's not much wind, it's not too bad. But that wind will cut right through you. So be careful. It's gonna be back in the 20s again tonight. But then it looks like it's going to start warming up for the rest of the week. I believe tomorrow in the 50s with a low around 40.
Let's go.
And then Wednesday a little bit warmer, and that's good. Good that basketball is tomorrow night, so that's indoors, and baseball is Wednesday night, which is outdoors.
Warmer. Yeah,
it's still going to be cool. It's always cool early in the season over at Plainsman Park.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the
– I'll probably be sitting inside.
Brian usually is right outside. When you look down the right field line, you know, you look past the 384 club, and there's Brian right outside the windows down there at the end.
Me and Caldwell, yep.
Yep.
When he's not calling.
When Jason's not doing the games, man, he's been pretty busy doing a lot of the games while Andy's got basketball here. And he didn't get a chance to go out to Arlington, But Brad had some great games
he
to
did.
Call.
He did. He did a great job, you know. I don't know how.
By himself, yeah.
I imagine it's hard to do it by yourself. I wouldn't.
Well, there are things you have to be doing. You've got to be keeping the book, and you've got to be keeping up with, you know, substitutions, things like that. Plus, you're filling the whole time.
Yep.
Now, baseball is a game where, I mean, if you love baseball and you know baseball, you can usually find things to be talking about, and you can let there be a little silence. You know, you don't have to. It's not like, you know, basketball, you can't. I mean, basketball, there's constant action.
Yeah.
Football, there's action, then there's a break between the plays.
Right.
Baseball is much more leisurely, but it's tough when you're doing a game by yourself because sometimes it's almost easier to do a fast-paced game where you're having to be describe, you're going to take a break.
Right.
As opposed to this where here's the wind and the pitch, and if it's not hit, then you've got a little time. It's going to go back to the pitcher, and he's going to rub it up a little bit, and you've got things to be talking about. But it's a little tougher to do it just by yourself. But what a weekend. You know, what a weekend for Auburn baseball. I mean – for anyone who was concerned after last week's midweek game, and there were a lot of folks, Brian, that were really, oh crap, this team's not going to be able to hit the ball.
Come on, folks, it's baseball.
I know. Right. You play 56 games.
Yeah. So it happens, but the bats are starting to come along. Bingaman, co-SEC freshman of the week, batted over 600. Had a couple of those home runs.
Had a two-homer game.
Yep. Brandon McCrane batted over 500. Bristol Carter over 500. Bub Terrell had, I think it was three RBIs, batted over 300, almost 400. So, the bats are coming around. You could see some other guys that you believe those bats are going to start.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Frelick swinging it all right. He homered in one of the games. Did. I mean, I hadn't looked at the team stats, but, yeah, I was on with Doug a little earlier, and he pointed out, I mean, the team batting average is .316, and I don't even feel like they're really swinging it.
No, I don't either. Yep. They're gonna have some series where they just really pound the ball. And the other thing that they started to do out in Arlington was start to hit for more power, but I think there's more power in this team.
Oh, I agree.
Especially doubles, gap power. Mm-hmm. And more home runs. So, you know, getting guys like Lucas Steele and Todd Clay going will certainly improve those areas.
Oh, yeah, Kate
Ballou,
absolutely.
Another one that needs to get his stick going.
Yep, and getting Chris Rembert back. And he ought to be back before too long, I would think, now.
I think so. The initial thought was missing a week or two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was maybe this weekend.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no sense in rushing him. You're playing pretty darn well. You're giving other guys opportunities and – so, you know, when he's cleared though, I mean, again, that's going to be that, just electricity at the top of the order.
Yes. Yes. Great player, great leader for the team. You know, everybody respects him. He will make Auburn much better just by his presence in the lineup and on the field.
Yeah. Again, I think this has the potential to be Such a good lineup, top to bottom. I mean, and there's so many different, you know, different ways you can line it up. I mean, Butch has talked about that a couple of times, but that will come. It did get better, though. I mean, they swung the bats pretty well out in Arlington, sweeping Kansas State, Florida State, and then Louisville. Florida State, that one was, I mean, Auburn was down four
right
before they even came to bat.
Yep, and just methodically fought back and then got it going late to really, you know, separate a little bit. Mm-hmm. But
Jackson.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah, was terrific. I almost said Jackson Arnold instead of Jackson Sanders. I do that all the time for some reason.
But yeah.
Yes, but yeah.
Jake Marciano has been almost untouchable.
Yep.
He's made like one bad pitch.
I know.
And it cost him his only run that he's given up in two starts.
0.82 ERA. You mentioned this at the top of the show. 20 strikeouts, one walk. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. One walk. How many hits?
Four hits.
Yep. 4 hits and one walk.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So 5 base runners and he struck out 20.
Sorry, no walks.
Yeah, no walks. That's right. That's right. So 4 base runners and 20 strikeouts.
Petrovic, 14 strikeouts, no walks either. So that's just amazing. And then Jackson, you know, has not been quite
well,
as
well. He had that 1 4-run inning. Right. He gave up 4 runs and 5 hits in the first inning.
But 17 strikeouts, just 2 walks. It's still phenomenal, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, great, great starting pitching. And guys like Hetzler and Gatwood and Jet Johnson have been really good.
Garrett Brewer's got a couple of saves.
Yep.
So, I mean – this is, I think, going to be a fun team to watch all year. They have all the pieces that on days where the bats may struggle, they've right. still have enough pitching to keep them in games. And there's going to be some games where a pitcher doesn't have it. I mean, it could be something like, you know, a situation with Jackson where the starting pitcher gives up a few early. They've shown, they're going to show, I believe, they've got the bats to be able to come back from that. And they've got the depth in the pitching to be able to bring somebody else in and shut teams down.
Yeah, they can give up some runs the first few innings, but they can bring in the right pitching and shut a team down. And they've got the bats to jump back into games, too. So this is going to be an exciting team. This may be Butch Thompson's best team. We'll see.
I think it is. I mean, I think it has the potential to be. I think the roster is probably the best that he's had since he's been there. They're a legit top 10, top 5 team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing how much better they can get over the next month or two.
They've got, is it West Georgia?
West Georgia Wednesday night, and then Nebraska in for a 3-game series. I think it's 6-2-2 or 6-2-1 as far as.
Yeah, I know it's. I know that Wednesday and Friday are 6 o'clock. And then, the other two are afternoon games for this weekend. So
yes, 6-2-1. I'm sorry. So the Sunday's game will be 1 o'clock for Nebraska, but 6 o'clock Friday night, and then 6 o'clock Wednesday night against West Georgia.
I would guess Andres Alvarez probably gets to start Wednesday night.
I would think so. Yeah. Now they used Chatterton on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. After he came in behind Andres last week.
Yep. So they'll have to use probably some other guys behind him, but. You know, if Auburn can, you know, hit it and get some runs, that'll give some other guys opportunities maybe we haven't seen yet, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing this team has more of, I think, than any team that Butch Thompson's had. Yeah. That's depth. Yeah. I mean, both on the mound and as far as position players.
Absolutely. Very, very, very strong team. Very deep team, position-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching wise, and they played pretty good defense.
I was going to say that's something we haven't really talked about, but I haven't. I'm trying to recall.
They had 3 errors over the weekend, and 2 were by Ryan Farber when he came in the game as a defensive replacement. Which you think that's kind of an anomaly, so to speak. So
because I mean he's expected to be one of Auburn's better defenders.
Yeah.
But I think this team should be pretty good defensively. They've got outfielders that can cover a ton of ground. They've got guys that can play multiple positions, both infield and outfield, and behind the plate too. Yeah. I mean, so it's a roster. If they can stay healthy,
right?
I think it's a roster can take this team.
And Brandon McCrane, who has stepped in at second for Chris Rembert, you're gonna have to find him a home. Once Chris, I mean, he's leading the team in hitting. You can't just put him on the bench,
no
right?
Kidding.
So he can play third. He could probably play some first, maybe even some corner outfield too. So they've got options with him.
Yeah, and it's fun. If you get a chance, get out to the ballpark and check him out. It's going to be a fun season, I believe. Off to a 6-1 start. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. We talked in the first hour, and we will do so some more about the big basketball win Saturday night against the Kentucky Wildcats. Don, you mentioned it a while ago. Mark Pope's got to be feeling a little heat.
Yeah, very uncharacteristic of some of his comments after the game. I watched, I guess, yesterday, just kind of off the wall, you know, stuff. The pressure's got to be
That's the thing. I mean, Kentucky doesn't expect to not be right there at the top of the league
and lose three,
three straight, yeah. Especially after they'd won 8 out of 9. They yeah. lost. Didn't they lose like their first two?
Yeah.
And they lost their first two, won 8 out of 9. Now they've lost 3.
Yeah.
That's very unusual.
It's just crazy. They don't really have a point guard. I know Oway's really good, but they don't really have a point guard.
No, you're right.
And if he runs out of gas, they can't score. Aberdeen's okay, but the one guy is just useless inside. I mean, he was standing around flat-footed on the yeah. tip end. I won't say his name. It's not the freshman.
Well, no, he's good.
He's going to be good.
He's really
if
good.
If he stays, who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're not very happy in the Bluegrass. Yeah. And they got a tough one on the road like Auburn. But they got a lot of guys to play. You know, they still got to go to A&M. They got Florida at home and somebody else. Vandy.
Yeah, that's right.
So they could whew, if he were to lose 3 of those and not make the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they. Well, the thing is,
you could tell the pressure was on him after that.
Oh, you're not kidding.
You could definitely
now,
tell.
Now, you said something earlier. Yeah, no game is a gimme, but if they don't win at South Carolina,
they could lose.
They may lose out.
Yeah, and
that would be tough.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, and that definitely would be. That would be.
They
goodbye
would be not in tournament
to Mark Pope,
the NIT.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number 2. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, 334-321-1390. We'll be right back here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports .com here in the studio, and Drew at the controls. And we mentioned it a little bit early on, and we're talking about Mark Pope under pressure, and he was pretty hot after the ball game the other night. Apparently I talked to a couple of folks who said he's still seething over the call there at the end of the ball game, which yeah, maybe he's right in that it's not always called there at the end, but Auburn fans aren't going to shed any tears for getting a call at the end of a ball game because that's not the kind of thing they're used to either.
I hate it when I understand the frustration. I've been there, but just hey, there could have been a call like you said earlier every play. Don't put yourself in that situation, you know.
Yep.
Don't give up the tip in. Block out. I mean, good Lord, I learned that in church league. And, you know, make a foul shot. Don't miss a layup.
Yep.
So one play does not cause a game. But it is frustrating if you're him because 3 in a row, those people are completely nuts, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I used to be worse. Ever since Leitner broke my heart, I still hate him. Or not him, but Duke. What a game that was. Did y'all have a chance to
see
that?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I did not.
You talk about physical, crazy. And then there's a good one again tonight. We were just talking about Houston goes to Kansas.
Man.
Where Kansas got killed at home by Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Explain that. That's why you can't get too high or too low.
Right.
I mean, come on.
I think when you have a player like Darren Peterson, who's the best player on the team,
yeah,
who's maybe the number one draft pick, unless he blows that, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't know why he's taking himself out of games.
That just causes
so many issues within a team, right?
Can you take money from him? If you don't play,
I don't think so. That's one of the things people have talked about with a lot of these players now. You've already paid them, and you're not supposedly paying a performer.
Can you imagine if Bobby,
I don't know that you can take it away.
Yeah. Could you imagine if Bobby Knight was still coaching?
He'd have killed somebody by now.
That guy took himself out.
He'd hit somebody with that chair instead of throwing across the floor.
Yeah. Isn't this the anniversary? I think today is the anniversary of that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Speaking of the devil, I had no clue.
Yeah.
You know, he was at Texas Tech when we went out there.
Yeah.
And that's a big man. Have you ever seen him in person?
No.
Did you ever see him in person? Very intimidating. Yeah, I could see where.
I could see that.
Yeah, he'd grab you up. No, he got in it with a professor out there over a salad bar or something.
Yep. On this day, February 23rd, 1985, Bobby Knight throws chair.
Wow.
Gets ejected versus Purdue.
My freshman year at Auburn.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
41 years ago today.
Wow. People couldn't believe it. I couldn't, but I saw it. There it is right there.
Here it
Bill's
is.
Bill's got it up. Yeah, look how young he was. He was a mean, big old boy.
Yeah, yep. He hadn't done it yet. I'm just waiting.
Watch. That's a great.
There you go.
He needs to pull it up. There he goes. He just scoots it right.
Slid it right to the corner.
What do you think that guy thought, that referee? What'd I do? Did I run? Him out? Because if I give him a tee and throw him out, he's going to kill me with a chair.
Well, I noticed it looked like that one official walked to the other corner.
Is that when they still had
completely
two officials?
To the other corner. Yes.
Two officials.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Man.
Some of the crazy things that's gone on in sports.
Some of those things live forever, like Woody Hayes on the sidelines.
Yeah, punching that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Just nuts.
Yeah. What's the worst you ever lost it, Don? I mean, I don't want you to embarrass yourself.
No. I was really never able to. I mean, it didn't matter if I lost it because I wasn't the focus. You know,
well, that's true.
I wasn't on the camera. Nobody ever saw me. I'd have people say, "Are you really coaching? I never see you." Then I had buddies that stand behind the head coach if the game was on TV. I've lost it on players on the sideline. Just want to, you know, I get so mad I want to hit them. Hit them, but you can't. Terry Price used to hit them with a whistle. You remember?
Yes, I do.
I mean, that thing would sound like a shotgun. He could get away with it because he's a big old boy. And speaking of him, congrats to his son's going to be an analyst at Texas A&M.
Oh, great.
Great.
Kenya texted Don and I over the weekend.
That's wonderful.
That just brought tears to my eyes. That's a class kid. You know, Terry. But anyway, I lost it on players, maybe at halftime. But a lot of that's more fake, and I don't mean it fake. You're trying to get their attention.
You're trying to get them fired up.
And if you do
emotional.
Something stupid like punch a board and all that, and then you break your hand or just dumb. But throw a water bottle maybe. But really, I was never – it didn't matter if I kind of lost it. I remember Tubb had to be pulled back.
You sort of expect some assistance to do that.
Yeah, you got
to
be but you also got to keep you cool, too,
right.
On the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we killed them during the week.
Yes.
But I kind of always thought that's your day on Saturday. You know, we've done what we can, try to make adjustments, calm them down. But if the biggest gripe I ever had, if I didn't see somebody hustling, out, get them out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I was overruled by the coordinator and the head coach. What are you doing? I said, he was loafing. Well, he's our best player. Get his ass back in there. Excuse my language. Wow.
No, that's great.
But a lot of that's fake, you know, emotion. You know, you're trying to get them fired up. But yelling at officials and stuff, no, not really. Because, like I said, I was just really a – nobody on the sideline other than doing what I was supposed to be doing. Where the head coach is always out there on the field. He's the one. Tubb would get after him pretty good.
He would.
But I don't remember ever him getting a personal foul. Do you? Maybe? Coach Knoll got one time.
I don't remember that.
It might have been at Ole Miss, and that wasn't fun. Because
I'm trying to
I don't
remember.
I don't think we ever had much personal fouls on the sideline.
I remember Coach Dye getting like two or three against Florida State.
Yeah,
back to back.
We ended up
with like third and 50.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah,
there was so much talent on the field whenever Auburn and Florida State played in the '80s.
Oh yeah, you're not kidding.
Now I will tell you a funny story. When I was a GA at Tennessee, one of my buddies and I, to make money, you know, back then we didn't make anything hardly. And then during this time of year, we would referee rec leagues in junior high and high school. We never made it to high school. We had JV games. So we had Knoxville School for the Deaf. And I had a guy cuss me out in sign language, true, because I called a technical. And he just was giving me this one-finger salute. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to give him a technical or what, but he – Donna said I was the only guy that ever got cussed out in sign language.
Yeah.
But he lost it. I didn't.
That's funny.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's funny. All right. So this started when we realized today's the anniversary of a
chair.
Of Bobby Knight throwing the chair. But I mean that is something. And I've had some people, you know, wondering about, you know, Steven's demeanor. It he's not Bruce.
No.
Now look. Bruce was not the calmest guy either.
No, he'd be
on the sideline. I mean, I worried early on in Bruce's time here that he was going to have a stroke on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially back when he was wearing suits.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But
Steve gets emotional.
He does.
Gets emotional, but he's not as outwardly,
maybe not as demonstrative
as
Bruce. But I mean, it's also his first year as a head coach. I mean, you wonder, you know, you sort of get into that because now you have sometimes when you're playing against a team, the coach has been around for a few years, and you feel like they may have a little advantage because they know how to work certain refs.
Right.
And look, people hear that all the time, and some people go, oh, there's nothing to that. There absolutely is. And it's. I think there's some of that too. Still in. I mean, some of that in football too. You've got to know who you're dealing with as far as the officials.
You know, one thing that I thought was great talking to some of the coaches in Alabama, Nick Saban, and they would go over in a staff meeting who the officials were going to be.
Hmm.
And I guess they tried to do a study of it. Okay, this guy's a hothead. You can't say anything. This guy likes to call holding. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Now, did that help? Probably some. But I guarantee you better not get a sideline penalty with Nick Saban as a head coach, as an assistant. You know?
No. Yeah. I bet he fired quite a few guys there on the sidelines.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
yeah.
That didn't mean that they were still fired.
Did Tom ever fire you on the sidelines? I already fired a few coaches.
Probably. There's a couple. Well, when I was at Ole Miss, we're playing in the Egg Bowl at Starkville, our first year. We go up and make that 2-point conversion to go ahead, and they got time left. So I had too many defensive linemen on the field.
Oh.
12 men on the field. He didn't have to fire me. Now, luckily, we intercepted the next play.
That's good.
But yeah, I was fired then, and I was going home on my own. I wasn't going to ride the bus. And you talk about scared.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're a young coach at the time.
Oh, yeah. I look out there, and the guy just ran out there. You know, and man, I can still hear that through the headset. Whew. You just want to die. You just want to go.
You want to crawl into a hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're praying, oh, my God. And then the guy that intercepted, I should have given him some NIL.
Well, we're maybe you did. And you just
that's
it.
Right.
No comment.
What is it? Statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations. I think it's long gone for that. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Philly Fanatic is up next. Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. I just got a bunch of pictures from my friends up there in Philadelphia. 20 Woo! Inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
Good God. Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, if I was in grade school now, I'd love it because we get a whole week off to do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
A lot of playing in the snow and sliding and slipping and ice skating, whatever. You know, get off the snow, yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of that on the Weather Channel. Unbelievable. The whole New England area. And Boston, New York City, Philly. Woo.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. I want to talk about Auburn's basketball recruiting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's time for the Pearls, Papa and Son, to move away from these 6'1 Mighty Mites. Because those guys, they get posted inside. They can shoot over those guys. It's just a lot harder when you're 6'1". I'm looking at Kentucky's lineup. The smallest guy on the team is 6'4", Otega Owe. He was a superstar. He is not only who is the top scorer, like 26 points, he's a top rebounder at 7 rebounds. He's out-rebounding this guy who is 7'1 and 2'6'11". I mean, that guy is the guy I want on my team.
Yeah, I think you will see Steven. I think he puts a big emphasis on defense. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see him add more length to this roster in the future. I know Caleb Williams is the only signee, early signee. About a 6'5 or bigger type guard, long wingspan there. So probably a 2 guard, I would think. But I think you will see that. I think you will see him and his staff go after more guys who they feel like can be good or great defensive players.
Yeah, I mean, the only other guy I saw who was that good, I'd take this guy over Hubbard. I mean, I'll let the guy, Hubbard, score 30 points. If the guy's guarding him scores, 10, 15, 20 points, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. I want a guy who can rebound, could go inside, go outside. Who is that guard for Alabama? Phalon?
Yeah, Ladarius Phalon.
Former Auburn commitment.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Yeah. He's another guy I'd want on my team. The only guy, the small guy I saw was really good was the guy from Vanderbilt. Was what, number 4? He was flying all over the place. Mm-hmm. Am I thinking of the same guy?
No, you're right.
That guy was a superstar. I mean, he was so fast. But there's not a lot of those guys around. I'd much rather get a taller guy who can stand up and go inside, outside. Because if you have a team, like Auburn's team doesn't have a lot of big 6'11", 7-footers. If you got a guy who's a guard who can rebound, I mean, that makes a whole lot better for your team.
Well, that's why it's interesting at times. When Tahad's not out there, Kevin Overton at 6'4" or so is the guy running the point. That makes him a lot, a lot longer out front.
Yeah, no question. And Jones last year, Denver Jones, he was tall, and he could do a lot of things too. So, that's where I go. I mean, if you got to pay him more, it looks like Auburn's going to need 4 guys from the portal, 3 that can start and replace the 3 that are leaving, and 1 to come fill in, get that freshman in, and hopefully those 2 guys that are hurt can come back so that they can play 10 instead of 7.
I think Steven would like to play at least 8. I think he'd rather have 8 or 9 out there playing, sure.
Definitely. I don't know about the 2 guys that are hurt. We'll see on Oporum for sure.
Yeah, they may or may not come back.
Right.
Well, we hung in for Auburn's field goal kicker. I mean, he was gone for, what, a year and a half? And he came back, and now I think he's going to be a star this year again.
Hope so.
You just have to – you got to keep him. So,
do your best.
I'll stop with my muse, and that's David Bowie. I mean, every time he had an album, he had a new persona.
You're right.
That's kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Super, superstar. It's too bad that he died so soon.
Oh, yeah.
Because he could have just keep turning out. I mean, Ziggy Spider from Mars and all the young dudes. They were just incredibly good. Well, that's all I have. And hopefully, we'll see Auburn win this first. It's nice for them to win a game in the last second because they seem like they lost so many.
Yep.
Kentucky coach wasn't too happy about it.
No, he was not.
To put it mildly, no.
Yeah. Well, they got some teams that they can beat coming up. I mean, the only really tough one, I think, is going to be Bama away. I'm not sure how they can win that. But at least Beniaka won't be on the team.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe.
I mean, Auburn can play with them. I mean. They just need to have confidence. I mean, they can get that. If they can win tomorrow night, they can be on a 4-game winning streak when they go to Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
They're going to have to shoot more than 40% because that's all they had the other day. I mean, really. It's about 45% you're going to need to have. And then they had a lot of turnovers, too. I mean, that was uncharacteristic of Auburn to have, 8 or 9 turnovers.
Yeah, that's a lot for them, which isn't a lot for a lot of teams, but it's a lot for them.
Yeah. because in the past they could go three or four turnovers. Yeah, and I think early on they take too many three-pointers and then not getting the rebound and then letting the other team have a run out. Because when you shoot a three-pointer and it doesn't go in, it's liable to go anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So that's problematic. So
well, that's the problem of crashing the boards, too. If you shoot a three and everybody crashes and the ball bounces out, then they're going to get a run out.
Yep. Okay, I'm looking for some warmer weather so I can get out and play golf. But War Eagle.
All right. After he talks about how he loved the 20 inches of snow, he's looking for some warmer weather here. It's going to come later on this week, Joe. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. He mentioned Brian's Monday musings. Uh-oh. We'll get to on the other side here on the Monday Drive.
211-3390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. That's all right. Y'all can bring it back. Bill, Don, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. And B-Matt, it's a fun time. I mean, there's a lot going on. Football, I mean, there's nothing on the field, but they're still, as we said, there's news of Coach Golish and his staff at different places and recruiting, and they appear to be pretty hard at it.
Yes, and in just 3 weeks, just a little over 3 weeks, we're going to start spring practice, and we'll have a lot of news then, because there's going to be so much competition, so many new names,
so many new faces for everybody to be keeping up with. I mean,
yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It really, especially as you get older, it gets even harder for me to figure out who's that. So
it's going to take a while. The good thing for Alex Golish is there'll be some familiar faces for them that they're working with and coaching.
I think the guys they brought in on offense, I think it was like around a dozen, 11.
It's 11 on offense and two on defense.
I think that's going to make the transition so much smoother for the entire group, but especially for Byron Brown, giving him the chance to step in right away and be productive.
Yeah, so, but I mean, we've got, with baseball just getting going and off to a good start, softball's already played 17 games.
Wow.
And basketball, we're heading down the stretch. We're in the final 2 weeks of the regular season now.
It's crazy. Just a few weeks until.
And the women have what, just 1 week?
This is the last week. Wow. Yeah, the last week.
Is Selection Sunday 2 weeks from Sunday or 3 weeks from Sunday?
Three. It should be, because it's not going to be. All right, we're talking. The season ends in 2 weeks, and then you were just asking about when's daylight savings time. So it's the week after
March 15th.
Daylight savings.
So it's a week from this Sunday, 2 weeks from this Sunday. This is coming up Sunday.
Wow, that's crazy.
March 15th, yep.
Yeah, so it is getting here fast. But, I mean, there's a lot going on, so you can keep up with all that there at auburnsports.com. And one of the things that we always look forward to hearing about and of course reading is Brian's Monday musings, and today is Monday, so
it is.
You want to start with the music or start with
let's start with the column, because I think Don Dunn can really weigh in on this. I talked a little bit about how NIL, transfer portal, revenue sharing is changing the way you build rosters, change the way you recruit.
And I think there's no question about that.
I think one thing that's changed is you have to take less risk when it comes to character concerns and other concerns of players, because, and Don can weigh in here, in his time, you get a player for 3, 4, 5 years, right? So you could take a kid who maybe had some home troubles or whatever.
And feel like you've got time to try to, if he has problems, to straighten him out.
And you can watch him transform over that time into a great kid. But nowadays, you know, that kid's here a year and he gets disciplined and he, you know, whatever happens and he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? You don't get that opportunity. So I think that's changed in the way you evaluate and bring in kids. I think at school, like Auburn,
I would say in every sport. I'm thinking.
Oh, no, it's every. It's basketball, I mean, you can certainly see it.
I'm thinking, you know, Ja'Kai.
I mentioned him in my column.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to
on
a kid.
Well, I mean,
but
the thing is, no, he's a guy that you saw in that TV series that you know, he had troubles, and you know, before he got out of high school, and it's just you still feel like there's a chance
because he's so talented.
He
right?
is, and he doesn't seem like such really. He's a bad kid. It's just he's got to learn that you just can't have everything you can't have everything you want right now always.
Yeah. Instant Yeah, you're right, Brian. I agree with you. It's really tough now.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, now in football, with the fact that the scholarship limitations have gone up, mm-hmm. now I'm not saying chances, but before the scholarship limits went up, I was thinking here with NIL and the transfer portal, that was really going to hurt high school recruiting because you wouldn't be able to take as many of those guys because if you take somebody and he doesn't play, right. The odds are they won't want to sit around for a couple of years right. and be projects.
And I wrote about this too, I think. Yes, you want to take the Keldrick Falk when you can get him and afford him,
sure.
right? But I think even more so in high school recruiting is once you get past those top guys, you feel like can play really early because if you sign a five-star and he doesn't play right away, he's gone.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about
it. And it's not just necessarily just because of him thinking so. It's because of either his agent or right. other schools saying, right. well, you can play here.
Right. And you also can't afford to pay a five-star to be a bench player for very long. Right?
No, that you're right.
Off everything.
And that's one of the things I think you look at Hugh Freeze and some yeah. of the things Auburn did is it seemed to make sense. Look, to get those players, you got to pay them. But if they're not playing – What's right. your return on that investment?
So I think high school recruiting wise, you got to go out and get the good ones, but not as many as you used to, especially for teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, right?
right?
And Auburn too. But what it does allow you to do is if you can evaluate kids maybe better than other schools can, you can sign enough of those kids that are maybe a little bit under the radar, not highly recruited, not as expensive to sign,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can keep them in the program for 5 years and watch them develop, or if they don't, they'll want to transfer out to a smaller school and get a chance to play. So I think there are when you take some opportunities away, there's more that open up for that. But I think the portal, when you're talking about getting mature players, starters, key backups, I think unless you are getting a five-star like freshman, like a Keldrick Falk, that's the way you have to go now because you have a better way to evaluate those kids. They've been in college for 2 or 3 years. You know a lot more about them. You have a lot more information.
Now, there's a track record right. for them playing against this level of competition. Now, you don't want to have to be going out and searching the portal for half your starters.
No, 39, 40, no, you don't want to do that every year. But if you do a good job evaluating high school players over time, mm-hmm. you're going to start building up that depth, and those guys are going to be players by the time they're third-year sophomores or fourth-year juniors, whatever it is.
Well, another thing I think was wise on Alex Golish and his staff's philosophy or whatever, how it worked out, a lot of the guys they're bringing in through the portal have multiple years of eligibility.
Yes, I think I counted that up. I think it was half of them, I think, have multiple years.
That makes sense.
And I think – I wish I could find that, but it was around a dozen of them are underclassmen. So, more than
yeah.
just 2 years. Yeah.
So, I mean, they've made one move now. Maybe they're less likely to make another one, especially if they get an opportunity. I mean, boy, if you can find another, another Xavier
yes.
Atkins, guys like that, right. that DJ Durkin was familiar with, had recruited him at Texas A&M and thought, this kid's got a chance to be something.
Yep.
And he came in and, man, he was fabulous this past year.
Yep. And, musically, this is one that, is kind of way out there. So it's not even focused on a group or a song or anything. But
oh, wow. Okay.
We're going back 93 years.
93
years. To the tragic death of an oil heiress, which led to an alleged haunting of a mansion and some spooky recordings. So good luck with that one. You would really have to know about this
no
mansion
idea.
Or this story or
where the
this
heck
band.
Is it?
All right, it's in L.A.
Oh, God. Hess? Absolutely.
Hess Mansion?
No, but that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
I have no idea.
Her name was Daisy Canfield Danziger, and her father was an oil baron, also was a co-founder of Beverly Hills in Del Mar, California. So
he was pretty well off.
So she was tragically killed. Fell off her car drove off a foggy Mulholland Drive, which you've heard of that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
250 feet down a cliff, died. And then the mansion, which was called the, I guess it was the Canfield, the Cressmont Estates at the time.
Okay.
It became like a house for young women, and then it became a place for nuns and stuff. But eventually it was bought by a developer and was turned into an estate where you could do recordings and do TV shows, movies there, and of course also be a boutique hotel. So supposedly it's haunted. And one band in 2006, My Chemical Romance, which is not a band that I follow, but some people
I was going to say I'm.
I think they're like a quote unquote golf band. I think that's what they are.
Okay, I have no. Yeah. I have no idea. I usually feel like, oh yeah, I've heard of.
They recorded their best-selling album there, Welcome to the Black Parade, I think it is. Which
Drew,
is,
you familiar with this?
No,
okay.
The Black Parade album, which is ranked by Rolling Stones number 361 on its list of 500 greatest albums.
Wow, okay.
But during this time, they had one guy that had to leave the building because he was suffering from night terrors. Another guy, you know, had some mental health problems. Another guy in the band said he saw a ghost. So it all kind of contributed to this album they put together. There's been some other things there too, but that just you know, just kind of went way out of the box for this one.
Man, where did you find that? I mean, that's that's some serious. that's pulling one out of not even left field, man. That's pulling one out of weight.
Yeah, it's out of the stands.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Yeah. Wow, that's a pretty good cool. One, but Brian does. I mean, let me tell you, it is. You never know what direction Brian's going, or what era, what genre, what it's gonna be.
Wow!
So that's
interesting. That's a good story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I like the I like the points on recruiting and roster.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's not collection, but whatever acquisition building. Yes. Because I think you have to. You can't think the way you used to about going out and just signing, you know, nothing but high school players.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. It was a great when it did last. You know, Nick Saban.
Was the
goat of that, right? You know, he would.
And he saw what was coming and
retired at the right time.
That's right.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Again, that's just part of what you'll find there at AuburnSports.com. Go ahead and let everybody know. I mean, how they can keep up with everything and follow you.
Yeah, and we've had tons of coverage already this week, basketball, baseball, recruiting. We'll continue to roll it out at AuburnSports.com. I'll be at baseball Wednesday night, be at basketball Saturday. We'll have full coverage of tomorrow night's game against Oklahoma, all that more. Check us out. You can follow me on Twitter, such as X at BMATAU.
That is great. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time if you'd like to join us. 334-321-1390 as we wind it down here on the Monday Drive.
Hi, this is Tyler
Evan, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Monday afternoon. So, yeah, a good weekend for Auburn athletics. Big, huge win for Auburn basketball. Now they need to just see if they can build on that and come away with a road win in Oklahoma. That would be
so big.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you look at it, Auburn is not, quote-unquote, on the bubble right now, but they're a bubble adjacent, let's say, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can't get – one of these wins at Oklahoma, at Alabama, you know, two quad one opportunities, they're probably going to go into, you know, Selection Sunday with some worries.
Yeah, right? There'll be some questions about it. But, I mean, if they get a win, it'd be back-to-back quad one wins.
That'd be huge.
And then they've got a couple of teams they ought to be able to beat. I mean, especially when you're feeling good about yourself, when you're confident. I think that's one of the things that has been a problem for them here in some of the last couple of ball games. You start losing games and struggling at the end of ball games. And I know it's been driving Stephen Pearl crazy, and the players have to be feeling that pressure too and pressing a little bit. And I think that's probably why they've struggled so much around the rim and even with their three-point shooting. When you're thinking about it, when you're thinking, you know, I got to make this shot or I've got to do this, you know, you're just not as relaxed and able to go ahead and follow through.
Yeah, they still haven't played their best game yet.
No, I agree.
So we'll see if they can come up with that soon.
I mean, Arkansas was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Florida wasn't bad.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. But, I mean, it's not like they.
Yeah,
they,
right.
Not
right.
Like they've just lit it up and shot, you know, 55%.
Right. Yeah.
And now they've had a couple of, I guess, you know, they've had a couple of games where they've shot threes better here lately.
Right.
But, yeah, I think they still have that game or games in them. And this is when you want to start peaking. Yep. As you head, to the end of the regular season and into your conference tournaments and hopefully the NCAAs.
Absolutely. You want to start finding it and find that way to win consistently. I think Auburn knows what it needs to be. It needs to be that great defensive team, mm-hmm. right, and rebounding team and creating offense out of defense. And, we'll see if they can do that consistently. It's just been so up and down.
Oh,
we'll
see. You're right. Don, what since Dan's out,
I'll be here tomorrow.
Looking forward to you being back.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Stay warm. We'll see if we get Andy. I mean, it depends on his schedule tomorrow since we've got basketball tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we will have that. But, yeah, as Don said, try to stay warm tonight. One more night in the 20s before we warm things back up tomorrow. But fun show again today. Music's playing. That means we're out of time for the Monday edition of The Drive. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.